are excused for children's church. I need some of this too. Well, there are no notes today, so I invite you to look right here. Look right in my eyes. And we have an important passage to study today that is really written from God to us so we get our lives straightened out for Him. So it's not a bad idea to look right in my eyes and know that I believe everything that I'm going to tell you today. I always do, but especially today, and the value of this for your life and my life. And it's something that will continue until the day you're home with Jesus. Let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for all the good things that you bring into our lives, and also the challenges, the things that make us wonder about what's going on sometimes. Lord, we just pray that you will bless us today as we read the Word of God, as we think about it, as we understand it, and as we try to apply it to our lives, to try to make it a part of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 7 from the NIV version of the New Testament, the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. The sound of those pages turning is music to my ears. I hear people looking at the Bible for answers from God. Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things yet not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Well, I encourage you today to read the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, because it's a great passage that defines for us, explains for us, and gives examples of what it is to live by faith. So today we're going to talk about this topic, the meaning of faith. The meaning of faith in verses 1 through 7. Well, what is faith? What is faith, anyways? Maybe a good way to start is what it isn't. It's not. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. It's not that. Faith is not some kind of good luck charm that we have. We're believing in this, you know, rabbit's foot or you know, the right side rather than the left side, all that stuff. That's not faith. Faith is not holding our breath till something good happens. Let's do that for a second. Just hold your breath for 10 seconds. Didn't help, did it? Didn't help us with whatever we're facing in this life. That is not faith. Faith is what the readers of the book of Hebrews needed. And because they were really tempted to say, you know, this Christianity stuff is really different and hard to do. So why don't we just kind of go back into Judaism? You know, go back to where everybody else is, where it's easy and what we're accustomed to. Wouldn't that be the way to go? It was also not easy as they lived their lives in Nero's very unfriendly Roman Empire. You know, he used to light the streets of Rome with Christians. He would tar and feather them and set them on fire, and that's how he lit his streets. It was extremely unfriendly towards Christians. You know, it might have been a temptation just to kind of say, you know, I'm going to shrink into the woodwork. I'm good. I'm here. I know that stuff, but I don't want to be noticed. I just want to kind of be here, but not noticed by anybody. You know, sometimes our society is kind of like that, isn't it? A lot of people, when they face trials or struggles, they bail and they run away from it all. But faith never grows strong apart from the stress of enduring trials. I'll say that again. Faith never grows strong apart from going through the stress of enduring trials that we face in this life. Well, we've seen what faith is not. What is faith then? Well, the first seven verses of Hebrews chapter 11 answer that question. And the rest of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us how that works out, how people, examples from the Old Testament, demonstrated that faith in their lives. They showed steadfast endurance in the face of obstacles, extreme obstacles in their lives. They relied on God. They refused to run. I can't help this, but every time I watch a Civil War movie, one of the things the commander's always told his boys from the North, boys, never let them see you run. Don't run. Don't let them see you run, ever. These Christians refused to run. And put their knowledge of the scriptures into action so that they might change and grow. Boy, be more like Jesus. That's why we have those things in our lives, so that we can be used by God to understand these things better, to help other people that might be also going through these things, and become more and more like Jesus. You know, it's kind of like the oyster in the clam. You know, how does that thing get to be so beautiful? It's because of the pain that oyster goes through of getting that little bit of dirt in its gullet. And growing to be like Jesus sometimes involves pain and difficulties. But it's God's plan for us. It's his purpose for us that we might change and grow to be like Jesus. Well, as I look through these seven verses, I found five observations about faith. Five observations about faith. First of all, faith involves assurance and conviction. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 again. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. The word there for assurance comes from the Greek word meaning to stand under, to stand under. It's what underlies the surface appearance. Faith is what stands under our hopes, like a foundation that supports a building. Last summer, we replaced the whole foundation under our house, and we have a different house today. You can actually feel it as you walk. You know, it's not slanting this way anymore. It's not, you know, it's not moving around because there's a firm foundation under those walls. And so, like a foundation, faith supports faith is necessary in supporting what we believe about Jesus. It gives us assurance. And conviction means certainty. Faith is 100% certain about what it believes and expects these things to come. It's kind of like having proof in a courtroom situation. We know what God says, and we act upon it because we are convicted that it's true. We are assured that this is true, and we are convicted that it's true. There was a guy named Dr. J. Oswald Sanders, and he worked for this mission that did a lot of missionary work in China called the China Inland Mission. And he once said, "Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as if it's present and as the invisible is seen." As the invisible is seen. And these things are the things already spoken about in the book of Hebrews. If we read through the book of Hebrews, we'd come across these things, such as Christ's return. God says that Jesus is coming back. We know he's coming back. It's almost as if he's here today. We know it's going to happen. We have assurance and conviction about this. Our final glorification as Christians, that when we get to heaven, we're going to get new bodies, new resurrected bodies. We know it, we're assured about it, and it's just as if it's already happened because we have convictions about this. Our future entrance into heavenly rest. Sometimes we get pretty tired of working, don't we? But in heaven, there's going to be rest. We know it's going to happen just as if it's happening today. And all the benefits of our salvation that are going to be totally fulfilled in heaven. We have some of them here, but they'll be totally fulfilled in heaven. We have assurance about those things. We have conviction knowing that it's going to be. That's the first thing. Faith involves assurance and conviction. Secondly, faith always relates to things that are in the future. We'll read verses 1 and 2 again so we see this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, things that we don't have yet, things that are not yet seen. Faith is the cement that we mix into hope to harden it into assurance and conviction. Without it, our hope is only a formless slush of wishful thinking. So that we can see in our hearts things not yet visible, but one day we'll see these things in eternity. We have conviction, we have assurance about these things. And that's how the men of the Old Testament were approved by God. The prophets came and said, guess what? There's going to be a Messiah. God promised the Messiah is coming. They never saw it. They never lived to see Jesus. And yet they knew it was true. And that's how they were commended by faith. Commended and approved of God because of their faith in what God said through his prophets, through the word of God. Third point, faith puts us into immediate touch with reality. Look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The realities spoken about here are the origins of everything. Everything that we see, everything that we don't see, God simply spoke and made everything out of nothing. That tells us about how powerful God is. God spoke, and boom, it happened. Boom, it happened. This one little phrase there in Genesis 1, it says, and he also made all the stars. Just like that. He spoke, and it happened. And you know, God was the only witness there to see and tell us what happened. So we have to trust what he tells us. There's no other answer to that. By faith, we trust what God says. Can't explain it, but we know that it's true because God says it. Faith is dealing with the facts the way God has presented them to us in the Bible. You know, we need faith to understand the very first page of Scripture. That's Genesis chapter 1. And we need faith to understand the days of our lives. Every day we need faith to understand what God is doing with us. We accept it by faith. We know that verse, Romans 8:28, that says, in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Not all the easy things, but also all the hard things he works together for the good. If we want to know what happened and what will happen, we are utterly dependent upon God to reveal it to us. And when God does reveal it to us, we have to accept it by faith in order to understand it, in order to understand life. God says it, we have to receive it and believe it and understand. Fourth thing in this passage, faith is basic to pleasing God. Look at verses 4, 5, and then verse 7. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. So we're starting there, very close to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 4. Then verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Then look at verse 7, at the flood, the time of the flood in Genesis chapter 6. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So in verses 4, verse 5, verse 7, we're given three examples of common men with uncommon faith. We see their muscles of faith being stretched to the limits as we go back and read the stories about each one. We can see that, how this was really a workout. But with each workout, their faith grew stronger and stronger and more pleasing to God. So the examples are a shepherd named Abel, a preacher named Enoch, a builder named Noah. From all kinds of different professions, situations in life, they were all called to put their faith into action in order to please God. By faith, Abel worshiped God according to God's way. By faith, Enoch lived out God's word. It says he walked with God. And by faith, Noah fulfilled God's will. It took 100 years to build that ark. Can you imagine all those people? All the things they must have said about Noah. They probably called him Nutty Noah, you know, because he was, you know, long ways away from any water that could make this ark float. And people had never seen rain. This guy is, and his sons are building this big boat in the middle of nowhere. But by faith, Noah fulfilled God's word so that every person that was there might have an opportunity to obey God's word, to turn to God in repentance. All three of these men broke fresh ground. They had the courage to go ahead without asking if others were following. They had no need for high fives or low fives or pats on the back, because they had been granted a faith that required no confirmation. God said it, they believed it, they did it, and God blessed them as a result. That's the fourth thing that I found about faith, fourth observation about faith. Faith is basic to pleasing God. We have to put our trust in him alone for our salvation. And finally, fifthly, true faith is a childlike faith, according to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, the steps of pleasing God are as simple as the baby steps of a toddler. And when I'm around Jack Swain, my youngest grandson, I can see that as he is growing to trust his legs to work right and growing to trust his parents to grab him when he takes a stumble. First, according to these verses, we come to God. Secondly, we believe that he's there. And thirdly, we count on him to keep his word, just like Jack does, just like my grandson does. He comes, he believes, he counts on his parents to keep their promises to him, the character that they've shown to him. That is the type of faith that pleases God. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. It's more like the sure step of a trusting child towards the loving arms of his mother. It's a willingness to step out. It's putting our confidence in God. That God is there. That God cares. That God is faithful. That God intervenes in ways that we can never understand or know. He intervenes into our lives. He's living. He's the living God who does these things. And that God embraces us when we throw ourselves by faith into his arms and nobody else's. Well, those are four or five observations about faith that I found in those seven verses in Hebrews chapter 11. How about you today? This word faith, pistis in Greek, pistis. Is it a struggle for you? Is faith a struggle for you? Trusting, believing, depending upon God with your entire soul, is that a struggle for you? Sometimes that struggle is caused by unresolved conflicts that we have with people, or lingering bitterness that we have not given up to God. We can give those things over to God and be free of those things so that we can grow in our faith. Secondly, is faith a topic of conversation in the neighborhood that you live in? If they were talking about faith on your street, would your neighbors bring up your name and say, that guy is a man of faith, or that lady is a lady of faith? I see the way she lives, that she believes in God. And then finally, you know, I think maybe Hebrews 11 is going to be continued in heaven. You know, it just gives us, it's kind of like a summary of the beginning of the Bible, but in heaven, I think it's going to be rewritten again for us so that we'll see other names of people who put their faith into practice. If that list was updated in heaven, would your name be on the list? And what exactly would God say about you? Frank put his faith into action in this way. Sally faced this, and this is what she did because she believed in Jesus, her Savior. Not just for salvation, not just that, all, yeah, the whole Bible is true, but practically every day she walked with Jesus. She believed. She trusted him wholly. That's the invitation today. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, do that. That's when the victory party begins. To believe, trust in Jesus alone for your salvation. And certainly believe everything the Bible says. That's very, very helpful and very essential in following after Christ. And the third thing is, count him into every area of your life. Put Jesus as the person you consult before you do anything. Ask Jesus. Put him first. Depend upon him. Count on him. Know him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for the Word of God that encourages us and helps us with everything that we face, with the question of heaven and hell, with the question of satisfaction in life, with the question of bountiness, richness in you as we go through these things that we go through. Lord, we thank you that you are so good to us and you write us wonderful things in your word that are for our sake so we might know you and others might know you too. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand with me and sing about God's reckless love.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing, oh.